Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling, located in New Caney, Texas. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.com.
Doing things a little bit different this morning, so buckle up. Buckle up, buttercup. Let's pray. Father, we surrender this time to you. God, I pray that this would not be words that would be fed to simply our itching ears and to scratch them and to just kind of hear what we want to hear this morning. But instead, Father, I pray that we would hear from you and hear you not with just our ears, but I pray that we would hear with our hearts and that you would actually change us this morning, that you would grow us this morning, that you would do potentially something new in us this morning. Work mightily, God. Spirit of the living God, I beg of you to show up and do a work right now. Please work. May the words that come out of my mouth simply be your words, not a word more, not a word less than what you'd have us hear this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. If you have your Bibles, this is a great sermon today to have a Bible for. I'm going to ask you to open up to 1 John. If you don't, we're going to have it all up on the screen for you. But 1 John is where we're going to be camped out this morning. 1 John chapter 3. My goal today is to just kind of walk through this text, which I usually don't preach like that, okay? Honestly, I'm a little bit freaked out this morning because usually I don't preach like this. But that's how we're going to do it this morning. I'm kind of excited to just kind of see where it goes. So 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to read a little bit, then I'm going to preach a little bit, then I'm going to read a little bit, then I'm going to preach a little bit, and we're going to see how far we get. You know what I'm saying? I should probably be watching my time here. Oh, baby. I know me. Some of you are like, we know you. We know you. Let me actually start this, baby, because I know that could be bad. Here it is. 1 John chapter 3. Actually, it's starting at chapter 2, verse 28. This is incredible. Here we go. And now, little children. Oh, you could preach right there. You could just stop and preach. You could just stop and preach. We can't. We don't have that. We're not going to do that, but you could. I love that. Now, little children. He's talking to old people, too. He's not just talking to little kids. He's talking to But little children. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, who is he talking about there? That's Jesus. When he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Oh, man, that is the desire of my heart. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Are you kidding me? We shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. 33 years ago, not to the day, but like this year, 33 years ago, I was born. Okay? 9 months before that, easy. 9 months before that, I was conceived. That's as far as we're going. I was conceived. But one of the things I can say is that I did not make any of that happen. You know what I'm saying? No, just let's stop there. Thanks. Just a couple of you get it. You're just with me. I love it. But no, here's the deal. Like, I never chose to be born in Wisconsin. That's where I'm from. I never chose to be born into America. I never chose to be born with white skin. I never chose to be born into the Kunze family, the Kunze, that's my last name, Kunze household. I never chose any of that. I was just, all of a sudden, I mean, I was a pretty good swimmer for a while. And, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That doesn't... But, like, I was just born into that. And here, what does John say? You are children of God. That teaches us something. You are children of God. You are born. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 29 here. Okay? Now, some of this I'm just going to underline as we're kind of going here. We are born of him. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. We were called to be children of God. And we'll look at verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children even now. We're his children. Why? Why are we his children? Because of you making a bunch of stuff happen? Because of you saying, okay, now I'm going to be a child of God. Because of all the good stuff you've done? Because of all the loving, nice things you do? No, not at all. Actually, how is it? Why is it? Because of the love. Look at verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has for us. See what incredible love that God has for you and for me. That we should... Well, how great is this love? Think about it. God wants to call you child. He wants you to be in his family. He wants to call you kunzi. Not kunzi. Godly. He wants you to be in his family. We're born into this. There's a kind of conception when the Spirit of God does his work in our hearts and in our lives. And he's addressing the church here. That's exactly who he's addressing. He's saying, you are children of God. Now that's going to do something. That's going to change the way this whole text starts to kind of maneuver and kind of work. See, it's through what Jesus has done for us. It's through his life. It's through his taking our sin upon himself. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John the Baptist said. Who carries the sin of the world, you could translate it as. The one who dies on a cross. The one who rises again victoriously. It's through grace, mercy, that we're brought into the family of God. That's tweetable. That was tweetable. It's through grace and mercy that God brings us into his family. Are you kidding me? He wants me to be part of his family? He doesn't just want to treat me as like a little... You know, dog down on the, you know, our dog at the dinner table and stuff, it's just, you get scraps. He wants to bring me up to the table? Are you kidding me? To eat with the family? Wow, that's incredible. You're children of God. Follow me here, follow me. Look at, let's just keep reading here for a little bit. Look at verse 3. Now this gets a little complicated. I'm going to try to unpack this for you. If you've been reading through our Bible reading plan, which you can find online, you maybe have gotten stumped in here. I know I did. Still am-ish. It's tough stuff. Follow this. Verse 3. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. Oof, man. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. Holy smokes! For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God, there it is again, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. By this it is evident who the children of God and who the children of the devil are. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Holy smokes, right? Kind of a jaw-dropping just moment of like, all right, what are you going to say about this? Listen, John is very intentional about this. John is dealing with a world that is incredibly like ambiguous. We live in this kind of world today with individualism as essentially a Trump worldview where you can kind of do what you want to do. You can kind of do what you want to do. Morality, everything is just kind of up to us. Right? That's just that's the world we live in. John is writing. And he, in the middle of this worldview that's incredibly gray and philosophers just kind of think about things and do things the way they want to do them, and we'll think some more on that. John, in the end, is setting up a situation where there's this camp and there's this camp. And that's it. There's two camps in the end for John. Now, John understands that the world is more complex than that. Just like we would be, you know, we'd want to keep kind of a complexity in our thinking a little bit on some of these things as the Spirit of God is working and doing what he's doing. But for John, as he's writing 1 John, in the end, notice how does that part end? There is the camp that gets behind God, and there is the camp that does not. There is the family of God, and there is, just kind of stark, boom, gets in your face, there is the family of the devil. That's how he sets it up. Go read through 1 John. He talks about light and dark. You know, the sun shining and then being in the darkness. It's just pump, pump. There's no like gray, there's no like dawn. No, it's just pop, pop. There's sin and there's not sin. There's being born of God and there's not being born of God. You're either of God or you're not of God. Look at how he spells it out. Now, this is through commentary. I didn't pick this out on my own, okay? And so you could probably disagree with this potentially. I bought into it. This is kind of how I think he sets it up here. He's talking about belief and unbelief. And he does it with four sets of kind of this belief, unbelief. And we see it laid out here. Watch what happens. Look at chapter 3, verse 3. Everyone who thus hopes in him, there's hope in him. And then look at the next verse 4. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning, there's those who hope in him, and there's those who practice sinning. Belief, unbelief. And then he does it again here. Watch this. Chapter 3, verse 6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. There's going to be those who abide in him. And then what does he say in that same verse? And then there will be those who keep on sinning, but they've never seen him or known him. There will be those who abide in him, and there will be those who don't even know who he is and have never seen him. Okay? That's the first set. And then he does this again. Watch this. Then in verse 7, he says, there will be those who practice righteousness. And then in verse 8, he says, there will be those who practice sin. That word practice, you won't find that in every translation. That's coming from a Greek word, poieo, all right? And it's really important because that word is simply to make or do something, okay? So to make or do sin. So you could say something like, you could say like, don't sin. If you sin, or don't sin. The important thing here is to understand that it's a present active participle, though, and it has a kind of continual motion to it. It's keeping on. And so it's really appropriate to translate the word practice there. He who is practicing righteousness is living in that, and the poieo, present active participle, or those who are practicing sin. Belief, unbelief. Watch this, one more. Verse 9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. There will be those who are of God. And then in verse 10, there will be those who are not of God. What do you think? You like it? Not like it? Disagree? Do what you want with it, I guess. But I think it is really in line with the rest of 1 John, where John is setting up this two-camp situation. There's no middle ground for John. There's bop, 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 bop. Which camp you in? And actually, it kind of hits us, and maybe it needs to hit you. This is the difficulty of preaching this message, because I don't know what you need to exactly hear. But the original context is actually John coming alongside these people and saying what? Little children, children of the Father. There's an encouragement to these words. And if that's what you need this morning, you need encouragement. Because you're starting to talk about yourself as if you're not a child of God, and you have forgotten what our God says about you, then you need to hear today that you are his child. And he loves you like crazy, and you're part of his family. Now, you might need to hear something different, too. And I'm just going to let the Spirit of God do that kind of work, because I don't know what that is. Two camps. Now, you might ask yourself, gosh, but I'm a Christian, and I really do believe I'm part of God's family. I am part of God's family, but I still sin. What do I do about that one? You know what I'm saying? You feeling that right now? I know I'm feeling that when I'm reading through this text. This is why I love, if you've been reading through 1 John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. And this is really important to keep into mind. He actually says, if you say you have not sinned, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. So one of the important things is to actually recognize and acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner. That's important. So then what do you do with the tension there, folks? If you just read the same stuff I read, I heard like a lot of stuff like, if you're of God, you're not going to continue to sin. There's the tension. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? To acknowledge our sin and our brokenness and our need for God, while at the exact same time recognizing that if I'm in his family, then the family's going to live in a certain way, and it's not going to be in this thing of sin. Highlighting the severity of sin, how serious it really is. It's not okay. It's not okay, and it needs to be dealt with. Sin needs to be dealt with. It's serious. This isn't how we live as part of the family. You ever do that with your kids? You know, you ever do the whole like, we don't live like that. We're Kunzies. We do it different. You ever do that? You know, or not Kunzies. You'd use your last name. But you'd be like, you know, that's not how we do things. We're a Kunzie. You know, sometimes we say that kind of stuff to our kids, right? We don't do this. Here's what I would say. Let me say it like this. What scares me the most, what's most dangerous to me, what's most dangerous in all of this to me, is actually the one, the Christian, who's not fighting against sin. That's the person that I think is in the greatest danger. The person who actually acknowledges sin and resists and fights against the practicing of sin, that person, I'm like, okay, we're on the right track. And here's what's so hard. Here's what's really hard. Because those two situations right there, typically the person who's not fighting against sin in the church looks really good. And the person who's fighting against sin looks really bad. And yet, this is the one I'm less concerned about. I'm more concerned about this guy. Does your life look like a life of resisting and fighting against sin? Or have you actually thrown the throwing the flag up the pole, and it's just a big white flag, and you're just like, I surrender. This is just too much. This is too hard. I'm going to give up on this, and I'm just going to lean into it, and I'm just going to let it go by, and I'm going to just hope the grace of God just kind of covers that, and it's all good. That scares me. That person scares me way more than the person who just, bleh, I'm fighting against this. I'm struggling with this. And this person looks messed up because they just shared it, and it's just all over the place. And it's the person I'm least concerned about. Does that make sense what I'm saying right now? That's the piece that I think is really in here. There's a sense in which we should be able to look at people's lives and see a fight against pride, a fight against sexual addiction, a fight against brokenness over here, a fight against just letting the relationship continue, even though it's so broken, I'm just going to let it just go. I'm not going to even talk to that person anymore. Whatever it might be, you're not even in resistance to it anymore. There's no, Peter talks about this, the fight, the war that's being waged against us. I want to see some people who are like, I acknowledge I'm a sinner, I acknowledge I'm broken, and I'm going to continue to resist against it and fight against it and repent of it. It comes down to repentance. I'm going to turn and Jesus, I need your help, I need your help, I need... Are you kidding me? What an incredible posture of faith. I need your help, Father. I need your help, Dad. I need your help, Dad. Whew. When there is sin, we will fight. So what will the family look like? Here it is. Love will be the fruit of the family. I got to keep moving here. Love will be the fruit of the family. Let's bring this all together here. Chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Love will be the fruit of the family. We should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now let me speak to this for just a split second. Love. Love will be the fruit of the family. But here's the concern I have. See, our culture, follow me here, our culture believes in love too. You are indoctrinated in understanding the importance of love all the time. Our world talks about love, 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 love too, just like everything else. And so my concern is that you might read some of this and you might start to take your indoctrination of our culture into this text and say, of course, I love like that. Like, golly, Cain killed a guy? That's not okay. I would never do that. And so we look at this, and sometimes we kind of dismiss what God is actually trying to say to us because we're just like, yep, got that one, yep, got that one, yep, got that one, yep, got that one. But it's actually not the Spirit of God that's saying, yep, got that one. It's the indoctrination of our culture in you that's saying, yeah, I kind of get that, and you're actually missing it. Stay attentive. Stay ready. What's God saying to me here? What does this look like? What kind of love are we talking about? Check it out. Verse 16. By this we know love. By this we know love. What is this kind of love going to look like? That he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We have to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This is what this love is going to look like. Recently, somebody gave to me a picture. It was an Astros baseball player, okay? Astros baseball player, signed, It was a picture about this big. And I was like, I want to give this to somebody that I really care about and that I want to thank. And so I approached this person who I look up to and have learned a lot from. And I said, hey, man, I know you like baseball. I want to give this to you and bless you. I just want to say thank you for, I just want to say thank you. I really care about you and I've learned a lot from you. And so I gave this to this person. And then this person asked me this, caught me off guard. They asked me, as they're grabbing it, very thankful. And they didn't ask this question they asked this question out of complete innocence, and they asked it in just wondering. That's all they asked was this. They asked, where did you get this? Where'd you get this? And in that moment, I wasn't expecting that question. They were just asking, where'd you get this? And my brain went to like I'm going to tell them where I got it from. And I said, well, a friend of mine in Pennsylvania was at a banquet where they were raising some money for somebody, and he bought it, and he sent it to me. And I'm giving it to you. And as I was telling that, I could see the demeanor just kind of go to, cool. And just kind of, and it hit me. It hit me. Giving him that signed thing, that cost me nothing. It didn't cost me a thing. I think the Astros are okay. I don't even know who the pitcher was. Like, okay, cool. And I knew this person would like, but it didn't cost me anything. I didn't bid on it. I didn't spend any of my money. It was given to me. And all of a sudden, this thing that I was kind of like, this is going to mean a lot. And I could see it in the person's eyes. Not in a bad way. They weren't being mean. They were just kind of like, okay, cool, thank you. I mean, they're very thankful. But it didn't mean anything. It's different. It was different. The kind of love that we're dealing with here, in deed and in truth, what does this look like? What we're talking about here costs a lot. You sweat. You cry. It takes time away from you. It takes energy away from you. You have to exert energy. It's costly. It's difficult. Watch this. It's challenging. You will become less while other people become more. It really is Jesus saying to us, you want to follow me? Okay, cool. Then deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. This kind of love is not just, I do love, do love, do love. I love everybody. I love the world. I love everybody. Yeah, but when have you actually done something for your neighbor? When did it cost you anything? When was it inconvenient for you? When did it break? When did you have to die so that they might be made greater? Are you even loving people? Say, let that baby rock you a little bit. Do you love people? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, right? We know that one. Memorize this, baby. 1 John, written by the same guy. 1 John 3:16. Laying down our lives. Because what do we find in Jesus? We find Jesus in the garden, sweating blood. We find Jesus tired, seeing the sheep come. This is a story you'd have to know to get it, but seeing the sheep come and he's tired, but he helps them because they're sheep without a shepherd. He He's tired, though. He's tired. He still leans into it. He goes to the cross. We see Jesus dying for us, shedding his own blood, pouring everything out. Listen, John Piper, in quoting on this verse, says this. Check this out. Look at this. If a deed needs done and it costs you a lot, do it. If a deed needs done and it costs you a lot, do it. See, that's what Jesus, he saw in us a deed that needed done. We couldn't climb out ourselves. We couldn't get out of sin and darkness and the grasp and power of Satan himself. We couldn't get away from the power of death. And so he came and he did it for us. That's an incredible thing. That's an incredible thing. Where is God? Where is God putting things into your life that you can say, yeah, that I want to walk that out. I want to walk that out. Because those in the family live like this. This is what the family will look like. This is how the family will operate. It's the family business. And we're in it, folks. We're in the family business. And so just like John's been saying the whole time through, we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to do what he does. We're going to see him. We're going to watch him. And we're going to walk down that same path. And for some of us, as soon as it gets a little hard, as soon as it gets a little difficult, as soon as a challenge is brought our way, as soon as something happens that we don't like, as soon we just run away. There's two camps in the end for John. We got to stop there. I want to finish off. I actually have it in my notes, but we're not going to. We'll pick it up next week. We'll pick it up next week. Our God loves us like crazy. See what kind of love the Father has for us. That we should be children of his. That we should be part of his family. What's his family going to look like? It's going to look like tangible deeds being done in love. That's what it's going to look like. That's what the family's going to do. And it's going to cost you a lot. It's going to hurt you. It might be painful. It might be time and energy. Come and talk to me if you disagree with me. We'll talk through the text. That's where I'm going with chapter 3. That's what I see John teaching us. Let's pray. Father, as I think about 2,000 years of your people in 1 John chapter 3, I got a feeling there has been so many different sermons. And you got what you got for us this morning, and I thank you for that. I do. I know this message blessed me. It shaped me, Lord, and I thank you for that. I thank you that we have a God in, you know, that where you unpack in chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just, and you'll forgive us. And God, we are sorry this morning. We come before you, and we acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge that we have not loved the way you love. We have not done for people the things that cost us. If it starts to interfere with our TV time a little bit, or if it starts to interfere with a little bit of this, or it starts to get a little bit challenging, or we start to have to undergo any kind of suffering, oftentimes we run away and we're like, I don't, that hurts. That's too much. And I pray for myself right now. I pray for forgiveness, God, for that, for those times where I've done that. And we acknowledge that we do that more often than we should. We're sorry, Lord. We are sorry. We want to fight against that. We want to fight against that. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us now. May you shape us for this next week, the things you've already got for us, the things you've put before us, prepared in advance for us that we might walk in them. Please. Please, God, give us the strength to take those steps, even where it's hard. God, we're part of your family. We're in the family business. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for that comfort and assurance we can have in you. And forgive us for where we sin and fall short. We love you, Lord. We trust in you. We're just going to keep following you. In Jesus' name, amen.